Okay, David will now share his experience for 20 minutes on fifth step, correct, David? Let's see if I can see you. Okay, David, are you, go ahead. It's all yours.
Okay. Thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure to speak in the meeting. And I've been doing a lot of Zoom meetings lately, so that's kind of good. Last year, I've been really, really busy with meetings. It wasn't always that, it was that way for a long time, but just most recently, I went through a big, I guess you would call it somewhat of a traumatic experience. I don't know if you guys know my story, but, you know, Dan was my sponsor for 25 years. And when he passed away in 2016, something snapped in me. By then I was kind of like, and I was praying to not cuss because I usually cuss a lot. So bear with me. Dan was like an older brother or like a surrogate father. I grew up, I didn't really grow up in this fellowship. But I kind of grew up, not emotionally, but certainly mentally and somewhat spiritually. By the time he died in 2016, I was like, I don't know if you guys used to do it, but about, you know, you live by the gun, you die by the gun, you know, in the old Westerns, they used to put notches on the people, right, that they kill or whatever. So I was kind of doing the same with all the people in my life that I've had like a love or intimate relationship. It kind of started about, I don't know, about 2010, 2011, maybe somewhere in that area. First it was Don Pritz who was Joe's sponsor. Dan's sponsor was Joe, and Joe's sponsor, well, back then the Denver people, they really didn't like the word sponsor because it's not in the big book. So, but technically Don was his sponsor, or one of the guys that had took Joe through the work five times with five different guys when he was living in Denver back in the, I believe that was the late 70s or 80s. And first it was Don, and then I think it was Mark Houston. And then it was like every year somebody was passing away. And then all my old friends from high school, all my old quote unquote, they weren't trudging buddies, but all my old homies, they all died too. So I don't have really like anybody left from my childhood, pretty much, or my adolescence, I guess you could call it. I was just an overgrown kid emotionally. And by 2016, I had enough. And pretty much walked away from the program. I stopped going to my home group, the Tuesday as outlined in the big book group, had been my home group for 20, almost 25 years. It's almost the same amount of time Dan was my sponsor. And, I had a running commitment in that meeting except for 1 6-month period for 22 years in a row. We started our own conference called Fellowship of Spirit West. which is going to be 29 years, I think, this September, something like that. I don't know, long time. Anyways, so I was really gung-ho with the group and, you know, the lineage that that the group kind of advocated from Denver. And I walked away. I was so angry at God for, you know, taking everybody that I loved was gone, pretty much. I mean, I have one guy left. I have an old friend from high school. He's doing like 30 to life, so I don't think I'm going to see him. But other than that, yeah, most of my friends from high school, they're all gone. And most of the people that I love or had an intimate relationship in sobriety are gone. So now it's been about a year. It's been about a year. I think we did the Fellowship of the Spirit Joshua Tree last year, about this time. I think it was, yeah, April or May. And it changed my whole world. It changed my whole world. So I'm going to read you the passages that I picked. It's from the fifth step. It's on page 75. And I don't know if you knew this, but Dan always kind of like would always, when you start a certain step, he would always go like a chapter or a page before or a paragraph before. So like in step six, right? When we look at defects of character, right? We look at our objectionable behavior. And that's actually a fifth step, right? That's actually because we go back through the inventory and look for our objectionable behavior. So kind of doing what's before the actual sixth step. So I'm going to wind back up to page 75, paragraph one. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have written an inventory and we're prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we're about to do and why we have to do it. We should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. So this is the paragraph that I chose. We pocket our pride and we go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. It's kind of like that song. It's like fifth step promises, right? We can look at the world in the eye, be at perfect peace and ease. Our fear is far from us. There's a lot of stuff there. So I don't know, if, you know, I'm going to probably break some anonymity here, and I'm kind of really bad at doing that too for a long time. But we had this workshop last year, and it was an all fellowship type of deal. And we used, my friend Mike used the BBA as a guide. So we went through the inventory pretty much in the same process. Except the first step was a little different. 2019, I knew I was in trouble, big trouble. Later that year, after Dan passed, I had a heart attack. I got sick on that Manzanar run, And I ignored my symptoms. And in September of 2016, I had a heart attack and I almost died. And I was 20 pounds heavier than I am now. I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, and I couldn't go to work. So for me, that's dangerous. So I sat at home and basically just took it really easy. And the doctor, and that's when my dad got really sick. My dad was really sick. He got a kidney failure. He had a colostomy bag. He had diabetes. He was missing a few toes. He was really sick. And I was there for him, you know? So I kind of like those years, I started to become like a caretaker for my parents because they were both very, you know, my dad died. He was 87. And so anyways, kind of to back up that story, he passed and he wanted me to take him to Manzanar. I used to go to Manzanar every year, kind of running or walking. And I was kind of like shocked. And so 2019, I was able to, I was down there to take a cigar to those ashes, and I had a little Native American ceremony, and I was able to let him go. So 2019 was a big year for me. I went to FOTS in Colorado, and I had written some inventory on the three female relationships that I had in my life that were kind of strained, right? One was with an old member of the group, a very close friend of mine's wife, and an ex-girlfriend that I had broken up with here in Thailand, and my mom. And I've always had a, you know, very, very stubbornly hard relationship with my mom. The image with my mom was, and she sat down and, you know, I gave her time, and she sat down and pretty much unloaded both barrels on me for about a couple hours. I mean, she just brought up instance after instance after instance, and it was tough. The image with my father was completely the opposite, but you know, she got free. She was able to unload that stuff, and she needed to do that. You know what I mean? And I needed to sit there and kind of take it, right? So during this process that I went through last year, I was telling you about it. It was the first step, we made two lists. And on those lists were things I'm trying to get done but can't get done, and things I'm trying to stop doing but can't stop doing. So is there any men in this meeting? It's okay. It's okay. Probably one of the biggest things that was on the list was right, my sexual behavior. Especially, porn and masturbation was a big thing that's been in my life for 50 years, over 50 years. And, you know, there's other stuff that was like, you know, clean up the garage. When I got to inventory in this group, I made my garage into a man cave, and have since then I have sold everything out of there and moved to Thailand, which was a big thing. Cause I was in the same room when I left a little over a month ago, 2 months ago, that I was in during high school, selling dope and having guys sneak out the window at 2-3 in the morning. Same room. It was a little bit larger. We remodeled it 30 years ago. But anyways, so I have a lot of history in that house. And to make a long story short, there was a bunch of, I mean, I have the list with me. I could cite down some of the stuff, but yeah. So cleaning the garage, some, you know, stuff I'm trying to stop doing is you know, eating red meat was on there. Lose weight, you know, all the kind of stuff that's kind of been plaguing me for a long time. And sit quietly in meditation, right? Do a solid 10 and 11, have discipline and all that kind of stuff. Okay, thank you. And and all that stuff started happening. All the stuff started falling off the list. And then by the time I got to inventory, half of them were gone. And you know, I try to, my mom would not listen to any amends from me anymore. After about the third or fourth one, she just said, you know, you might as well quit doing this, because every time you make an amends, you know, a week or two later, we're fighting again, or we're disagreeing on something, or, you know, I mean, because, and it's, you know, it was ongoing for a very long time. And, so 2019, I went to FOTS. I fifth stepped the three pages of inventory with an old friend of mine from Vietnam. And he came out, and then an ex-sponsee of mine who moved to Chicago. we did a workshop together a few years back too, over Zoom, one of the first ones over Zoom. And there was something there. I fist stepped again with Don Coyas, and then I fist stepped with Juanita, because right, it was all females, and it was all about personal relationships, right? Not that it's not still about alcohol or freebase cocaine, but you know, I'm 32 years from my last drink, and that's a long time. Most of my troubles now are in personal relationships, right? Or love relationships, intimate relationships. And this fifth step this time really busted me open. And I've had some pretty profound experiences with fifth step, like the one with Dan. That particular line that, you know, the look at the world in the eye, and that fifth step, you know, I don't know, you guys might've heard the story, but I came home and, you know, cause we're book thumpers, right? Our books don't get dusty because we don't put them on a shelf. We're always using them. but I put the book on the shelf, took it off the shelf just cause that's what it says to do. And went through the first five proposals, and I fell asleep. And then I woke up only almost about 45 minutes later. I called Dan, said, yeah, I think I messed up. I fell asleep. And he goes, well, he says, maybe not. He says, were you at perfect peace and ease with yourself? And I go, yeah, I haven't taken a nap like that where I was out in years. He goes, oh, okay. So actually some of those things started happening for you. And I said, yeah. And I remember I walked in the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. And that was the first time I was able to look into the pupils of my eyes and be okay with what I saw. This time, this time I saw all the fears. That have been driving me. I saw one that it was the only memory I have from, I think it was like 3 or 4 years old. And that was when, you know, I don't know if you guys watch TV or something, but there's this new series. Well, it's not, now it's old, but it's called The Mandalorian. It's about that guy in Star Wars that buys the armor. He's fully armored, right? So that was me. That was, I got my first piece of armor, my armor of self-reliance, right? Because if you really knew how dark it was here, you wouldn't love me or you wouldn't like me. And so I couldn't let anybody in. And I wouldn't let anybody in. And it started for me when I was very, very, very young. And every few years, I'd get another piece of armor. So by the time I was in elementary school and I started drinking regularly, because I don't know if you guys know it, but my dad bought a liquor store when I was 10. And I just assumed I'm going out that way, right? Take over the family business. So it took me all the way back. So now the fifth steps that we do are actually, we're doing 5, 6, and 7. So this time through, I pretty much took the numbers off the steps, because by the time I was still doing fifth steps, I had already made a couple amends. So I kind of got what Don Pritch used to say about, you know, this is a process, this is a life process, right? This is a process that I'm dedicated to working for the rest of my life. You know, so I'll be writing inventory for the rest of my life and I'll be making amends for the rest of my life. And I'm okay with that. In fact, it's kind of funny. I was just talking to my mom a few hours ago. And there's nothing I can't talk to with that lady. I mean, there was no sarcasm, because I'm a real smart ass. And there was no defiancy. All that's just been lifted. And it's a miracle. I mean, I have been bumping heads with my mom. I mean, you know, we kind of make a joke out of it, right? Now, I mean, now I get to make her laugh from my defects of character. And I tell her, you know, and we laugh about that stuff. It's kind of unusual, you know. And she told me, she always used to tell me, she says, I knew as soon as you were born that you were different. And I said, yeah, I'm definitely different. And, you know, I was the kind of child where, you know, she would tell me, don't jump in that water because it's polluted. You might get sick. And they would have to hand me a towel. I've been doing shit like that since I was very small. And that's always the way it was. And, you know, compared to what was like a year ago to what it's like today is unbelievable. I mean, I moved halfway across the world to Thailand. I sold everything out of that house before I left. I live about 300 feet from the beach. So every day I get to go walk on the beach. And, you know, I always used to listen to, you know, one of my first meditations were those tapes of water and waterfalls and chimes and that kind of thing. And I'm living that dream. And sometimes I got to wake up and pinch myself because I don't think I deserve it, right? But I do deserve it. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I love myself and all that kind of healthy kind of stuff. But, I finally started being good to myself. And it's okay. You know, So I don't know if that helps anybody or doesn't help anybody, but it's such an honor and pleasure to share. And I hope this dream comes true for you too.
Oh, thank you, David. Thank you so much for the wonderful share. That was great. Okay, let me stop the recording. Hang on a second.